David declares in the Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David liked going to church. You know why? Because he understood his calling. David wasn't simply called to be king. David was called first and foremost to be a follower of his heavenly Father. He was called to be a worshiper. And when we talk about the calls that have been issued on our life, when you and I have made that choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, there are some callings on our life that you and I have to rise up and answer. And if we don't, I'm just going to be honest with you because I'm your friend and I love you. If we don't rise up to answer the callings of God on our life, then you and I perpetually live in sin. The first call that we talked about last week is the fact that you and I have been called to be loved by God. You have to let yourself be loved by God. And that's hard for some of us. We don't think we're worthy of that. But we are. God made it so. He says that I have loved you with an everlasting love. You're called to be loved by God. Today I want to talk about the second call that is issued in your life, that if you can't find in you to rise up and embrace, then you will always feel struggling in your spiritual journey because the second call that is on your life is a call to belong. You were called by God to belong to His kingdom, to belong to His family, to belong to His people. Let me just be simple about it. You were called to belong to a church family. And by belonging, the Bible doesn't teach us that it's simple act of having our name on a roll somewhere. Belonging means that we play integral connected pieces to the puzzle of the church. Rick Warren, I read several weeks ago, talked about this concept, and he used several metaphors that the Bible have to offer about how we as Christ followers are called to connect and be connected and belong to the kingdom, the family of God. You may argue that there are other metaphors that we can use, and I would certainly entertain that, but the four that struck me most, that Rick Warren pointed out, is that we're called to be family, we're called to be a temple, we're called to belong to a body, and we're called to belong to a flock. The church is referred to as all those things. And so metaphorically speaking, since the Bible addresses our connection to each other in those manners, what does that mean? Because each one carries a specific weight and each one carries a specific meaning for the particular teaching. Let's start with the family metaphor. You are called to belong to the family of God. We sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. First of all, that's a lie because we sing that and we don't really think that we're glad to be a part of the family of God. It's more like, oh my gosh, it's Sunday. I got to put in my time with the family of God. Are you really glad to belong to this body of believers? Are you really glad to be a member of South Belt Church? Are you really glad to be surrounded by the people that you're surrounded by this morning? If we say that we are, then we really should start acting like it. We should really start living like it. Because belonging to the family is important. Why? Because it is in the context of this family that we begin to formulate our identity. Not just our identity of personhood, but our identity in how we are going to fit in to kingdom purpose. You are created by God to last forever, but you're also created by God to serve and to worship and to belong forever. One of the benefits of being in a healthy family is that you are taught who you are. One of the beautiful things about what Rita Pearson talked about was the value of connection, the value of connectedness. And we first learn that concept in the family context. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens. You belong to something. along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Deny it if you want. If you look me in the eye and say, I've made a choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, you are a member of God's family. You don't get to live it in isolation. To live your spiritual journey in isolation, apart from God's family, makes you a sinner. Because you are not called or connected, or you're not called to be disconnected. You're called to belong to the family. I can't tell you how many times I hear through the course of the year, well, you know, that's fine, that's, but I do my own spiritual thing and I'm on my own spiritual journey and all that kind of stuff. You can't be on your own spiritual journey separated from the people of God. Because it's in the context of family that you begin to learn your identity. You begin to learn who you are in Christ. You begin to learn how you are in Christ. You begin to learn what it's like to be a member of the family. You're called to such a purpose. You're called to such a position. Verse 20, together we are His house, built on a foundation, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Himself. And we are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, so now, Jesus and the ones He make holy have the same Father. This is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. You're brothers and sisters of Christ. You're brothers and sisters of Jesus. You can't deny that. If you are in Christ, then you are my brother and you are my sister. We belong to the same family. And you don't get to elect an orphan's status because it's inconvenient to belong to the family of God. You've been called. You're my brother. You're my sister. I need you. You need me. For He said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your, what? Assembled people. I don't have to go to church. I can do this on my own. No, you can't. Well, I'm there half the time. That means you're not here the other half. You know what that means? That means the other half of the time when you're not here, I don't have the joy and the blessing and the benefit of being in your company. And neither does anybody else. You're part of my family. And every Sunday is family reunion Sunday. At some point, we as the believers of the body of Jesus Christ have to stop making excuses for why everything else on Sunday is more important than gathering with God's people. And I hear the naysayers already thinking, well, tithes and offerings must be down. Preacher's trying to whip up the crowd. You're going to stomp on us today to make us go out. No. Tithes and offerings are doing just fine, believe it or not. Praise be to God. But look at all the empty seats. School starts tomorrow. Shouldn't people be back in town? Shouldn't people be back in the Lord's house? We don't make time in the family a priority because we don't realize that we have been called by God to belong. You're part of the family. And when you're not here, we miss you. Because we need our brothers and sisters. If I started telling you about the litany of tragedy and death and sadness and sickness that I as the pastor have encountered this week, you'd walk out of here going, "Boo." Where do people take all that? Where do people have to dump all that? Where do people go to find courage and nourishment and sustenance in the midst of all that? They go to the family. You're important. You're important to me. You're important to each other. You're important to the kingdom principle of family metaphor. You are called to belong to the family. There's another metaphor that's called the temple metaphor. And basically it talks about us being building blocks for the kingdom of God. There's a connectedness here. We're like a temple, a building that's erected to God's glory, except we're not a building, we're a people. And when this people gathers together, then the church is there. It is a place where God is loved. We love God together. It is a place where God is honored and worshiped. Yes, we do it in this building, but we also do it when we're in the presence with each other. We're not on our own. We're not Lone Ranger. We're not by ourselves. We support each other, just like trusses and struts hold the building together and rivets keep the building intact. The connected parts of the building are what hold the building together. The connected parts of the building are what keeps the building from falling apart. What keeps you from falling apart? If you're connected to each other, you have a better chance of not falling apart. I have some little friends with me this morning. They're Legos. Nothing fancy. Just the simple little six, I don't know, prongs. I don't know what you call them. Connectors. Just the little rectangle building blocks. Right? And if I had one Lego, it would basically be worthless. Because with one Lego, I can do nothing except cripple the bottom of my foot. A Lego is not designed to live in isolation. A Lego is designed for connection. And so I can take this one Lego and I can attach other Lego pieces to it. And in the matter of just a second, I have something entirely different. Something entirely unique. Something that's strong and sturdy. I can squeeze it, nothing happens. Why? Because Legos are designed to be connected. They're strongest when they're snapped together. They're strongest, they're best when they're connected to each other. As part of as being called to the temple of God, you are designed to be connected to other people. And in doing so, everybody becomes stronger. You are there to support and hold up other people. Other people are there to support and hold you up. Romans chapter 1 verse 12 says, "When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours." We're designed to be connected. We make a difference in each other's lives. And others make a difference in our life. We are there to support and to hold one another up. Let's deconstruct. What happens if I remove the red Lego? The foundation's gone. And the whole thing's unstable. What happens if I remove the white Lego? The foundation's gone, or the centerpiece is gone, and the top crumbles. What happens if I remove the capstone up here? Then you can't add anything on the side because the weight just pulls everything down. Every piece is important. The temple metaphor is real because it tells us that others are here to support me, but it also tells me that I am here to support other people. Look around at all the empty chairs. Where are they? We say we love this place. We say we love these people. We say we like it here. We feel warm and comfortable here. Why don't we invite people to come and join us? Next Sunday, I'm going to issue to you a challenge. And the challenge is simple. I'm going to issue you a challenge during the month of September to invite 20 family units to join you in worship on Sunday. Right now we're having little invitation cards printed. Have the church name, got a cool little map on the back. Something for you to make it easy to engage that family unit in conversation. Would you come? Would you join us? Would you be a part of our family? Would you come and be a part of the temple of God? It's important. Not only are we called the temple, but we're also called the body of Christ. I alluded to this a couple weeks ago about each part playing a unique and important part. There is a uniqueness to you. You can do things nobody else can do. You can help in ways nobody else can help. You can also pool your resources and do things that everybody else can do and jump in and do everything everybody else can. One of the greatest examples of that is Harvey. From the oldest among us to the youngest among us, somebody swung a hammer and busted out sheetrock. That's something everybody can do. But you also play a very unique part, unique role. We're told in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that you are now a part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You're part of the body. What does it mean? It means that in all of our connectedness, we come together to make up one single well-oiled machine, well-oiled unit, working in unison and harmony to make this place a better place so that this place can make that place a better place. Paul tells the church at Rome, just as each of you has one body and each body has many members, all members don't have the same function. So in Christ, the many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You have a function. Fulfill your role. When I talk about our shape, and when I teach the shape class, and we talk about this particular construct, I talk about it in the concept of that which is seen and that which is unseen. Right? Because there are two types of body parts. There are body parts that are up front and out there and boisterous and conversational and teacher-oriented and all those kind of things. But then there are those that are behind the scenes, please don't shine the spotlight on me, please don't let anybody know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. There are two types of body parts. I refer to myself in the class as the nose, right? I'm the pastor of the church, I'm the nose, I'm the part that sticks out, I'm the part that, you know, people assume has the answers to the questions. They assume wrong, by the way. But they just assume, you know, well, you're the pastor, so you're the one I need to talk to. I'm okay with that. Doesn't bother me. It's who I am. It's what I've been called to do. I'll be the nose, right? I'll be the upfront part. But what happens if you chop the nose off? Other than looking really funny, the body functions pretty well, right? Nostrils are still there. You just don't have the upfront part. What often gets overlooked is the people that fulfill the role of the kidney or the spleen or the pancreas or the liver. What happens if I take my liver out? I'm not going to be around long. And you've never seen my liver function, but you know it does. And the reason you know my liver functions just fine is because I'm standing here. But you've never seen it. But if it's not there, the body's in trouble. It's okay to be a spleen. Matter of fact, without the spleen and the organ and the heart and the lungs and the kidneys, the body doesn't work well at all. It takes more behind-the-scenes people to keep the kingdom of God running than it does the upfront people to keep the kingdom of God running. What you need to do is figure out what your call is and what your shape is and what part of the body you are. And you need to make an unwavering commitment to fulfill that role. To do less is to live in sin. To do less is to sacrifice the hope that you have in being a part of the body of Christ. You've been called to fulfill your role in the body. It's also important that you can't be who you're not. You can't be who you're not. There's a long passage in 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to read it to you now, but it says, look, if you're a foot, don't wish you're a hand. If you're an ear, don't wish you're an eye. Be who you are. Be who you are. Because in the midst of being a part of the body, you have a unique and important role to play. There's a fourth description in the Bible about who we as believers are, our call to belonging, and that is the metaphor of the flock. We're called to be a part of the flock because it is in the flock where we find protection and we find care. It is in the flock where we find help and we find hope. Psalm 100 verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Wait a minute. I'm a sheep. I don't want to be a sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep smell. Sheep aren't real handy. They're kind of appalling animals. But they're also very innocent animals. They have no natural defense. There's no way to protect themselves. The sheep need a shepherd. And we are asked to be led and to be guided by the good shepherd. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And because I'm the good shepherd, I'm the one who's willing to sacrifice his life for the sheep. This is what it's like to belong to the flock and to be cared for by the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David says, I have all that I need. The shepherd lets me rest in green meadows. The shepherd takes me to peaceful, quiet waters. The shepherd renews my strength. The shepherd guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. For the shepherd is close beside me. The shepherd has a rod and the shepherd has a staff to protect and to comfort me. The shepherd has a staff with a long crook on the end because the shepherd uses the staff to guide the sheep. If they get too close to the edge of the cliff, he sticks that hook out and he pulls them back. If they're headed in the wrong direction, he reaches that long staff out and he taps them in the back haunches and he makes them get back on the path that they need to be on. The staff is there for the shepherd to guide you, to keep you out of trouble, to help you on your way, to pull you along when you can't seem to take another step. But the shepherd also has a rod in the other hand. And the rod is not for the sheep. The rod is for the wolves. The rod is for the coyotes. The rod is for the mountain lion. The rod is for the things that would come in and attack and destroy the sheep. The shepherd guides you. The shepherd protects you. And he often does that through the other sheep in the fold. We're here for each other. We're guided by the shepherd. We're guarded by the shepherd. The same shepherd that guides and guards you is the same shepherd that guides and guards me. He keeps our focus centered. And it is in the context of the church, it is in the context of the family of God, it is in the context of the temple, it is in the context of the flock that we are protected. Look, the world wants us to fail. The world wants us to be half-hearted and not sold out for the kingdom. The world wants us to have so much world in us that they can't tell where our Jesus ends and the world part begins. And we are here to protect and to help each other from that. Jesus says we are here to rejoice with those that do rejoice. We belong to the flock so that we can weep with those that do weep. Paul tells the church in Galatia that we are to bear one another's burdens and thereby lift and fulfill the law of Christ. He tells the church at Thessalonica, encourage one another and build each other up. All of this that the flock has to offer can be yours. Here's the caveat. You have to ask. You have to ask Jesus to be your shepherd. And if you are in trouble or if you have needs or if you are hurting, you have to talk to the members of your small group. You have to talk to your friend in your church family. You have to talk to the church office and say, I'm hurting. I need help. I need prayer. I need a hug. Several times through the course of the year, somebody gets mad at me. And they get mad at me because I didn't tend to a perceived need or I didn't tend to a real need. And eventually when we talk through it and they'll come to the place where we find out why they're mad at me, they'll say, but I posted it on Facebook and you should have known. I'm like, have you seen me look at Facebook? Oh, pizza. Motorcycle. We have to learn the art of talking to each other. We have to learn to practice the vulnerability of saying, I'm hurting. I'm struggling. Because the body is here, the family is here, the temple is here, the flock is here to guide and to care for. Ask. To not ask, and again, I say this as lovingly as I possibly can, just simply to assume is to, I believe, be sinful. Jesus says if you have need, ask, seek, knock. James says if you need wisdom, ask. We're told over and over in the Bible that if we have a need that needs to be met in our spiritual journey and in our spiritual walk and just in our physical life in general, we have to humble ourselves to the point where we're not so prideful that we can ask. You are a wonderful gift to each other. You are a wonderful gift to me. And we should band together as the flock and as the family and as the temple and as the body so that those people that aren't among us realize that they have a place to belong. Because just like the world comes after you, it comes after them too. Difference is you have a place to go. You have a place to find rest. You have a place for help, for friendship, for sustenance, for iron sharpening iron, for people to hold you accountable, to put yourself in a position of teachability. To learn and to grow and to mature. You've been called to belong. And to reject that call is to cheapen your spiritual journey. And I believe with all of my heart, it is to live in sin. Your church needs to be important enough to you that you pronounce its value to other people so that they can have the same hope and the same connection and the same opportunity for all of these growth opportunities that you possess. Accept the challenge today to answer your call to belonging. to run from it is to sabotage your spiritual journey. So change the course of your life today by embracing your responsibility to answer the call of belonging.